Good morning, everybody.
Hello. Good to see you. As Pastor Rob said, we're starting a mini-series called The One Another's. And the first one we're going to do is the command to love one another. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. If someone walked up to you and asked you, "What does love mean?" how would you respond? If you had to give a sentence or two, defining, explaining, "This is what I mean when I say I love you," what would you say? I'm not looking for shout outs. I want you to be thinking about this, and we'll swing back around to talk about, what do we mean when we say we love each other? When Peter says, love one another deeply, what does he mean? What does the word love mean? And so we're going to get to that. Be thinking about it. But we're taking a step back from the Gospel of Matthew. We finished it after 2.5 years of looking at the life of Jesus, the King Jesus, bringing the kingdom of God and revealing it through his words and through his actions. And now we're talking about, how do we live it out? How do we live out being members of the kingdom of God? And fortunately, he doesn't leave us to our own to figure out how to do that. There are several verses, several commands that talk about how we're to live it out, and specifically how we're to treat one another. So that's what we're going to talk about as we go through the One Another series. We hope that it's practical, that it's pragmatic. You get ideas about how you can live out, how you can walk out your relationship with the Lord and among his people in the church. And so I want to show you the different one another commands that we're going to work through in the next 7 to 8 weeks. Here they are. First one, we're going to talk about loving one another. That's today. Then there's the command to serve one another, bear one another's burdens, encourage one another, comfort one another, confess to one another, be devoted to one another, be hospitable to one another. When we walk these out, in the power of God's Spirit, this is powerful. This is powerful. And so these are some of the one another commands we're going to walk through. And as we talked about last week, a disciple is a follower, a learner of Jesus. And it's not a one-time deal. It's not you go from not knowing him to getting better and better in your walk with him. We continue to see what he's revealed to us, and then we respond by either accepting or rejecting, by obeying or disobeying what he's called us to do and to be. And as we do that, we reflect him to those around us, either positively or negatively. But we continue to learn what God's revealed and then respond to him. And so these are commands that he's given to his people in order to walk out. And so the question for us is, are we listening to what he's told us to do, or are we not in these commands? And when we do or when we don't, that's going to affect us a lot. And we're going to talk about that specifically. And as we do, we reflect him to others. Jesus says in John 13, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. By this, all people will know that you belong to me. If," he doesn't say, "if you wear the right clothes, if you say all the right things at all the right time, if you have this degree, if you went through this circumstance in your life." No, he says, "All people will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." So there's a reason that we're starting with the first command of to love one another. Because if the motive of all the other one another commands, to serve, to bear each other's burdens, to comfort, if the motive isn't love, we're not representing the Lord the way he's called us to. If the motive isn't love, maybe I am serving you, but only because I want to get something back from you, like a transactional. Maybe I'm comforting you, but I'm not really being authentic. I don't actually care what you're going through. I just want to get you away so I can talk to somebody else. Maybe if I'm exhorting or encouraging, maybe I'm doing that in a way out of pride or out of being right about something in admonishing somebody rather than for their well-being, right? Not out of love. And so love has to be the motive for all the other one another commands. And so that's why we're going to start with love. Which leads to our main idea, which is this. The God of love calls us to love one another, which impacts the world. And I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about how the God of love calls us to love one another, because I ran out of time to get to the which impacts the world. I just did. So, God of love calls us to love one another. So, we're going to talk about the God of love first for our roadmap, and then we're going to talk about the call, the command to love one another. So, let's start with the God of love. And I want to take a second, I think it's important to let you know the context in which Peter is writing this letter. In 1 Peter, where we get this command to love one another, he's writing to Christians that are in exile across the Roman Empire. So they're not in their homes anymore. They were kicked out of Israel, and a lot of them have lost their belongings, all of their resources. Some of them are being physically persecuted. They're suffering in many ways, and Peter reminds them, even in this setting, in this context, you can still fulfill the greatest command that God has given to us, which is to love him and to love one another. No matter what they were going through, the trials, their stuff being taken, people being physically beaten for their faith, they couldn't worship in public like this in fear of persecution. And he says, you can still fulfill the greatest command. You can still love one another. And so no matter where we find ourselves next month, in 5 years from now, remember the words that he's given to us. We can love one another no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what changes, for good or bad. We can love one another. So he calls them and he calls us to, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. But we still haven't defined love. We keep talking about love. You hear about love a lot, don't you? And it's arguably, the most important word in our English language. You know, we could have a debate about that. I think it might be. So, if it's the most important word, how come it's also one of the most vague words that we use, right? And maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't, but we use the same word, love, to talk about our sibling, right? Our family, friend, a cheeseburger, a dog. Love this, I love that, I love going here, I love doing this, I love you, you love me, love. But what do we mean by it? We have one word for love. The Greeks didn't. And when Peter uses the word love here, he uses a specific word called agape. Right, they had different words for love. They had words for love that talked about brotherly affection, that talked about a familial love, that talked about romantic love. Love in different contexts. We love our family and we love our spouse and we love our friend. It should look differently in different contexts the way we do that. But he says specifically here that to love one another, he's talking about the word agape. So I want to talk a little bit about that word. It's the word that God uses to talk about his love for us, all throughout the New Testament. It means an unconditional, one-way love, where you're not expecting, you're not demanding anything in return. It's an unconditional, one-way love. And you know what? That love is not natural to us. It does not come naturally. And so that's why he says, love one another, what does he say? Earnestly, fervently, intensely. It takes effort for us to do this. If you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't naturally sacrifice and give and care for this person when I seem to get nothing back in return or what, yes, you are like everybody else. He calls us to love one another. Sacrificial, a one-way, unconditional love. And you know what? God places love as top priority, doesn't he? To love him and to love each other. Jesus said it. Peter's reminding us about it. Here's how we're to treat each other. Love one another. We still haven't defined it. I'll get back to my first question. If you were to define love, someone came up to you and said, what do you mean when you said you love this person? What would you say? How would you define love? And if you had to do it briefly, I would encourage you to check out 1 Corinthians 13. Read that whole chapter. Paul is addressing a church that in many ways was not showing love in these ways. So he's saying, by the way, love actually is patient. You're not being patient. Love bears one another's burdens. You're not doing that, right? Love is kind. You're not treating each other kindly. And so 1 Corinthians 13, great place to go. But if somebody asks you about what love is, say, wait a second, let me get out my Bible here and like read the whole chapter. Wouldn't turn out really well, you know. How do you define an everyday basis? How do you think about love? How do you define it? What is love? So I want to show you where I go. It's a good idea to go to Scripture for it, and that's what I do. And I have a slide here of Ephesians 5. You can turn there if you want to in your Bible on your phone. Verses 28 through 29. Here's what it says. And I'm sure what I'm about to say doesn't exhaust all of what love means, but it's not less than what I'm about to say. And I think it's worth living by. So Ephesians 5, in the same way husbands should love, there's that word agape again, their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but so here it is, here's the definition of love, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. How do you love? By nourishing and cherishing. So what does that mean? To cherish means to value, to ascribe worth. You are a person of value. Whether you have a disease, whether you've gone through a terrible accident in your life, maybe you're in a coma, if you've had whatever your circumstances, a human being is valuable. We ascribe worth to one another. We value and we nourish. What does he mean by nourish? It means to take care of, for the well-being, for the health, we work for the good of that person. To love somebody is to value them and to work for their best interest. So that's what I have for my definition here. To love somebody is to value them and to nourish them, to cherish and nourish, whether I feel like it or not. Now, I think, if anything, we harp too much on saying feelings don't matter, right? Can we love each other without feeling it? Yes. But Jesus, when we read through the Gospels, we see often he would see somebody, he'd be moved with compassion, like in his inner being, he'd be moved with compassion for that person, and then he would go and meet their need. He would care for them. He would work for their well-being. He valued them. So feelings can be very helpful when it comes to caring for one another and loving one another, loving your family well, loving your friend, your spouse, your neighbor, people in the church. The feelings can be very helpful. But when they're not there, we can still do it. Okay? To cherish and nourish one another. So I think that might be something we continue to think about and in our own life see how are we working this out in the different relationships in our lives, within the church. How can I best show that I value you and that I'm willing to work for your best interest, for your well-being, right? According to what God has revealed. So before we get to some specifics of loving one another, let's talk about divine love, God's love. The Bible says that God is love. Not that love is God, that's when we turn love into an idol, but that God is love. It's part of his being. It's part of who he is. And so, love is part of the fabric of creation. And that can only be true if God, the creator, is love. And God can only be love if God is relational. And God is relational even before we were made. Before he made us, he was a relational God. He wasn't lonely. He wasn't out of community. It's what we talked about at the end of Matthew when it said people are going to be baptized in the name, singular, of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's the unity and the diversity, the beauty of the Trinity right there. One God, three persons. God has always, within the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, lived in this perfect relationship, loving relationship within the Godhead. Jesus says in John 17, "You, Father, loved me before the foundation of the world." He is love. And one of the ways we help to understand that is in the truth of what he reveals about himself in the Trinity, the community of the Trinity. He always acts perfectly in love. Maybe not the love that we would think in every circumstance. Sometimes he loves us in ways that we wish he didn't. We wish he would value us less to have us go through certain circumstances in our lives, either to discipline us or for other reasons. But he always acts perfectly towards us in love, for our best interest, for our well-being, because he values us always. And he knows that our greatest need was for our sins to be dealt with. Not just covered up, pushed to the side, and hidden, but erased, taken. And he did. Romans 5, it says, God demonstrated his own love, agape, for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still enemies. God's love, this unconditional love, is for people you like, people you don't like, for your enemies even, and certainly for one another within the church. And God showed it most fully in his sacrifice for us on the cross. Greater love has none than this, that they would lay down their life for their friend. And that's what he did. A love that we can never pay back. God is love. And so John says in 1 John 4, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. The God of love calls us to love one another. Above all, Peter says, keep loving one another earnestly, fervently, deeply, intensely, since love covers a multitude of sins. Now, it takes work, it takes effort to continue to value each other and to be willing to work for each other's best interests. Love covers a multitude of sins. By cover, I can't erase your sin, you can't erase mine. Only Jesus can do that. But what we can do is not stick each other's faces in it. What we can do is not remind each other over and over again of the mistakes that we've made. We can cover it up in that sense. It says in Proverbs 19, the glory of a man is to overlook an offense, to not keep bringing it up before you, pointing you to the Lord. Love covers a multitude of sins. So, how do we love one another? How do we value each other? How do we work for each other's best interests? Peter goes on in verses 9 through 11 to talk about some of the practical ways that we do that. He says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles, the words of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves with the ability, with the strength that God has supplied, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So what did he say there? Some of the ways in which we show that we value, that we're willing to work for each other's best interest, that we love each other, is that he names three things: showing hospitality, serving, and speaking to one another. Now, all of those, in the next slide here, of the one another commands that we're talking about, and these aren't exhaustive, there's more, but speaking to one another, serving one another, are shown specifically in some of these ways. How do we speak to one another? With comforting words. How do we speak to one another? When we confess to one another. Forbearing one another. But also serving, opening up our homes, being hospitable. Some examples there that are specific that we're going to walk through. And what I'd like to do is give you a little bit of a taste of each one of these one another commands that God has called us to do through the motive of love for one another. But before I do that, I would like to talk a little bit about this sticker that I'm gladly wearing for you here, which we have available over there. One of the ways that we want to be able to remember this mini-series that we're going through is through some of the artwork that has been done. I would recommend, you can put the sticker on yourself, but I'd recommend putting it on your refrigerator or, you know, something you work on or something at your workspace to be reminded of it. But I put it here so I wouldn't forget to say it. But also, I wanted to ask Summer Jennings to come up and explain a little bit about the work she put in for this design, which we are extremely grateful for, that Summer does for us, one of the ways that she serves our church. And she's going to talk about the concept behind the art, which we all thought would be really helpful to hear before we jump into some of the specifics of the one another command. So thank you, Summer, for being willing to come up and to share a little bit about the artwork. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Can you help me find it? There it is. There it is.
Okay. Yeah, I can project my voice. Okay, now you can hear me.
Yeah.
Yay. Hi, everyone. So I'm Summer, and there is probably a reason why you have never seen me up here. I usually like to work in the background, like doing these things, but Tori asked me to do this, and I'm like, okay, the Lord's going to be with me over this silly thing, but it's fine. So, when I was presented with this idea from the church, I started to consider what this idea really meant. I asked a lot of clarifying questions about where we're going, what this really is going to mean to the church. So I'm going to read some of the concept to you guys. So I have chosen this artwork for the series to appear like a watercolor, as you can see. For anyone who has attempted to paint with watercolor, John Mora, maybe, you may know the difficulty of that medium. It's actually extremely hard to paint with watercolor. Not enough water and the colors are too thick, goopy, and aggressive. Too much water and the colors are too thin, runny, and faded. Likewise, living out the one another's is difficult and requires a very delicate balance. We are always wondering, did I serve enough? Did I confess too much? Did I love adequately? Do I forgive again? There is a delicate balance to living out the one another's, just like painting in watercolors. The two primary colors that I've chosen are green and purple. I've also chosen some of this stuff because it is pretty, so just, you know, there is art involved. But green is the color of growth and life, which is augmented by plants and the artwork. Growth in our journeys of being like Christ comes through community in the church and living out these one another's. Without each other, our maturity in Christ will be stunted. Purple is a royal color and reminds us that many of these one another's are not simply good ideas or suggestions, but actually commands from our King and Lord, Jesus Christ. So thank you guys so much for listening to me. And I'll...
Perfect. All right, thank you, Summer. So as she was saying, living out these one another commands, it takes effort. It takes effort to obey what God has called us to do in order to live out what it means to be a kingdom citizen. And I think having those reminders of the artwork and just the beauty of it is really, really helpful. And so we're really grateful for Summer and the people that help us with web design. So I want to talk a little bit about the different one another commands we're going to walk through in the next 7 to 8 weeks. We're going to talk next week about serving one another. Galatians 5 says, through love, serve one another. We have a posture of submission both to the Lord and then to each other, to serve not just our own interests, but the interests of one another. And Blake's going to be bringing that word next week. And I'm thankful. Blake is a servant. And when I first moved here 5 years ago, almost, I had one table, a TV, and a bed, essentially. And he said, would you like me to go with you and help you get a couch and use my truck to do that? And I was like, that would be wonderful. He didn't know me, but I was now part of the church, and he was willing to reach out and use and to serve in that way. And we can serve each other in a multitude. It doesn't have to be just manual labor, right? We can serve each other through food and cleaning and all kinds of different ways in our lives. And so he says, through love, serve one another. And then we're going to talk about bearing one another's burdens and doing that out of love as well. All of these are through the motive of love. Galatians 6 talks about bearing one another's burdens. And we bear each other's burdens after we learn about each other, after we listen and know what those burdens are. And then instead of leaving each other to deal with it just by ourselves, we walk alongside each other and we help carry that together. I was thinking in preparing this earlier today, just thinking about it, of Simon of Cyrene, when he helped carry the cross of Jesus. Some of us have heavier crosses than others. None of us have the infinite weight of the cross that Jesus died on for our sins. But some of us just simply have harder walks, harder circumstances in our lives that we're not meant to carry all by ourselves. We can bear each other's burdens. Acts 2 says to be devoted to one another. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness. And so whether I feel like it or not, whether I want to or not, go to church on Sunday, go to my tribe, go to my men's or women's group, show up to this or that thing, I'm not always going to feel like it. Often I do, sometimes I don't. But he calls us to be devoted to one another. Sometimes for the sake, not just of myself, but for that brother or sister who is going to be at that at church or at that or that event in order to walk alongside and show that I care, that I value that person, that I'm willing to work alongside for the well-being of that person. And so we're called to be devoted. We're also called to encourage each other. Hebrews 3 says we could use encouragement every single day. Every single day, we could use encouragement. Words that I hear to highlight what I'm doing well, what you're doing well, to help us continue to walk towards the Lord. But you know what? That word encouragement is also translated multiple times in the New Testament as either admonish or exhort. Because on the flip side of words that they're always words that build us up, but sometimes we need not just encouragement, everything you're doing is wonderful. Sometimes we need to hear actually, there's some things that should probably change in your life. You can use my compliment sandwich if you'd like to, which helps really well, you know, say something nice, then go into these are the things that could change, and then compliment their, you know, they dress well or something. But we could use exhortation as well. But they're always to build us up, not to push each other down, but to build us up and help us walk towards the Lord. And then we're going to talk about comforting one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions, so that we're able to comfort one another with the comfort we've received from the Lord. There are circumstances in our lives we never would have dreamed or wished or definitely never would have asked for that we go through, that God shows us that in that pain, that we're so tempted to just take it in on ourselves and think just about ourselves, he draws us out of just thinking about ourselves and he encourages us and pushes us to comfort one another with through the different circumstances that we've walked through. So, example, I have encouraged, I believe, I hope, comforted many people in the last 10 years that have back pain. I never would have asked, Lord, give me the gift, give me the herniate two discs in my back so that I can comfort people and potentially for the rest of my life. Just wouldn't ask for that. But he pushes me outside of just myself to be able to comfort other people. And there might be things in your life you never would have asked for or dreamed or wanted. And yet God has that in your life, not just for yourself, maybe for a million other reasons, but one of them is to comfort your brother or your sister that maybe right now they're not experiencing it, but next year they will be, or 2 years from now. He calls us to comfort one another. Okay, two more. He calls us to confess to one another. This is in James chapter 5. To bring our wrongdoing and our wrong thinking into the light. Sin is prone to make us isolated, to make us feel shameful, like we're the only ones doing it. And he calls us to confess to one another, to come into the light, and to bring it before people that we know and that we trust, that are going to work for our best interest, that care about us, that value us, and we do the same. When I don't confess the ways that I mess up, James says in chapter 1, we all stumble in many ways. That includes all of you and me. And when we try to keep that to ourselves and never share it with anyone, we make people think that they can't open up either, and they can't share either. And we're called to confess our sins one to another. Then lastly, we're going to talk about hospitality, which is also in 1 Peter chapter 4. All of these are important. But I think hospitality is if love is the motive for these one another commands, hospitality is the breeding ground to make this possible, right? We come together on Sundays, but I love to see conversations that are happening before and after, but man, it's the people that open up their homes, that allow people, invite people in. Our tribe leaders, our people in their tribes that do that create the environment, the atmosphere, we can come together and have deep, meaningful, lasting relationships with one another as we learn about the Lord, as we go through these one another commands, as we are able to serve together. Hospitality is the breeding ground for doing this. So we're going to walk through these different ways in which we show that we value each other and that we're willing to work for our best interests. And these are some of the examples that he gives, these commands of how we're to interact as the body of Christ. And when we do this, it's powerful. But let me confess something. I do not always either feel or act in love the way I'm supposed to. In valuing one another, in valuing my family, my wife, my friends, all of you, I don't always value the way I'm supposed to, and I don't always work for your best interest and for your health and all of that exactly the way I'm supposed to all the time. Anyone shocked? Anyone shocked about that? No. We have a limit to how we can love. You know, there's only one person, who am I about to say? Jesus, who did all of these one another's exactly the way a human being should. We're going to make mistakes. I might say something to you to try to comfort you that actually makes it worse. I'm sorry. I might. I probably have multiple times. I did. So Jesus is the only one who could comfort and does comfort exactly the way that we need it, to speak words of encouragement and exhortation, to bear our burdens to the point where he would go and die for our sins on the cross and take the wrath of God for us. He does that, all of those perfectly. We don't. But he calls us to walk alongside one another and to commit to doing, to living in this way, in his church. But we do so with a limit. Jesus doesn't have a limit. And neither does the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us, that third member of the Trinity. It says in Romans 5 that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom has been given to us. It's a very simple but very needed reminder I've had in the last few months, which is when I'm having a conversation with someone, when I'm on the drive to their house, when I'm on my way to church, when I'm about talking, whatever, I'm about to make a phone call, to ask the Lord, Lord, would you give me your love for this person? Lord, would you give me your love for this group of people? Mine has a limit, yours doesn't. He's given us his Holy Spirit, and I love the fact that I have relationships with people that I know, that I've seen in ways that their limit breaks, but then something happens and they're able to care for me, and they're able to value me in ways that are beyond their own ability because the Holy Spirit of God is living in them. Let's not do this life, living alongside one another with the Holy Spirit on the bench. That's foolish. He's been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, the love of God. So, my prayer for us is that as we imperfectly but leaning on the Lord attempt to live out these commands, that we can be the city on a hill that God has called us to be, that we can be salt and light to the world that Jesus said his church is meant to be, and that people will know that we're his disciples, that we're his followers, not because fill in the blank, all these other things, but because we have love for each other. Let's ask the Lord to make that a reality for our church. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you are love. And Father, we may have ideas of what it means to love somebody, to love ourselves in ways that are not, that don't line up with what true love is. We love deeply, authentically, because you loved us. Because you loved us first. You showed us that love. You didn't just talk about it, you demonstrated it. Lord, you are love. And you've called us, you've commanded us to love each other. And God, I know we're going to continue to learn about what that means. It doesn't mean less than valuing and working for the well-being of each other. It doesn't mean less than that, Lord. God, I pray you'd help us to feel it, to want to care for each other in that way, to love each other. But Lord, I pray even when we don't feel it, that we would continue to put ourselves in the places and the context in which we can love, in coming to church together, in being committed to our small groups, and showing up, Lord, when we're invited to serve, Lord, alongside one another. Sometimes not just for ourselves, Lord, but for our brothers and sisters. Show us how to love. We can't do it without you, Lord. And we cling to the promise that your love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom you've given to us. And so we ask you, Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, help us love unconditionally the one way love that you've shown that you are. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.